is the faith that will stand the test of these times. My brothers and sisters, hopefully I am not the first to announce to you that we're living in a time and in an age that is knee-deep in the sewer of self. This is an age, my brothers and sisters, that touts the efficacy of self-reliance and independence. It is an age that speaks with a language that is saturated with vocabulary words like self-esteem. Have you ever heard that? Self-sufficiency. Huh? Self-help. Self-image. And they got a new word now that just came up. They coined that one lately. It's called selfie. I'm talking about this age of independence and self-reliance. A selfie, for those of you who don't know yet, is those people that say, I don't even need your help. Back in the day, we used to ask people, can you please hold my camera and take my picture? But we're so self-reliant and independent today that we don't even need you to take our picture. We'll just take our own camera in our own hand, point it in our own face, and pose our own way and take a shot of ourselves. I say, my brothers and sisters, this age is an age that boasts the use of communication tools like Facebook. You ever heard of that? Twitter. I think Donald Trump knew a few things about that. Instagram. Snapchat. And I'm told those who use Snapchat, they've given them these filters that allows them to now remake themselves and present themselves as they desire others to acknowledge them. I'm glad that I have a few young people in my life that I can talk to help me with my contemporary research. But Landry, I was told that on these filters, there's one filter called normal. And that filter, when you use it and take your picture, it makes you look like God created you. It doesn't fix anything on your face. It doesn't make your hair long if your hair was short. It doesn't make your hair curly if it was knotty. It just leaves you normal. But many people do not use the normal filter. They use some other filters that make them look a little lighter, a little brighter, a little cuter, little more longer hair, narrow your nose. If it was wide like mine, you make it a little straight. Because this is an age that says, God, I don't need you. I can make myself. I am self-sufficient and self-reliant. I am independent. But the thing that bothers me about this age and those who tout the efficacy of this self-reliance and independence, they're always demanding others that they interact with to applaud them, to show them due benevolence and loyalty, even Almighty God, without any responsibility on themselves to earn that applaud, to earn that benevolence, and to earn that loyalty. My brothers and sisters, we are living in this age. This age that is so self-absorbed. It is an age that has given birth to and is nurturing a spirit of narcissism that has no barrier. It even affects those in high offices of world leadership, like some of the people we got in our own very White House. Narcissism, narcissistic spirit that says, I'm who I am, and I don't need your help. I don't need your advice. Don't tell me what to do or how to do it. I will be what I want to be the way I want to be it, and I don't need you. And to say to those of this age, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. It is almost counterintuitive to their values, to their mores. It's almost going against what this age stands for, to tell them, don't trust yourself, but trust God. Don't depend on your own wisdom, but depend on the wisdom of God. This is an age that hates to be corrected. They hate to be told what to do. They always want to do their own thing. But I'm so glad. I said, I'm so glad that there are still people in this age. Some of them I see this morning at the Berean Seventh-day Adventist Church who say, wait a minute, Pastor. Yes, we are of this age. I mean, we are in this age, but we are not of this age. And we have another value, set of values. We have another set of mores, and our value commands and demands us to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and to lean not unto our own understanding. Oh, bless God. In all our ways, we are willing to acknowledge that God is the leader, God is the director, God is the mover and the shaker in our lives. And for God, we'll live and God will die. Is there two people in here who can testify this morning? Yes, I may be educated. Yes, I may have money. Yes, I may have a big house and a nice car. But don't you think I'm caught up in all of that? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ is living in me. I will not trust my own wisdom, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. I like this song when it says, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. My brothers and sisters, that word trust is a synonym of the word faith. Everybody say faith. Faith and trust are the same. When the wise man Solomon tells us and encourages us to trust in God, he's saying, have faith in God. And this morning, I want you to know that those who will be God's faithful few will have to include in their ingredient of faith three things. And there is no passage of scripture in the Old Testament that helps us understand what these three things are in faith than the story found in Daniel chapter 3. Story of Shadrach, Meshach, and that bad Negro. Abednego. The story really begins, my brothers and sisters, in Daniel chapter 2. What book did I say? In Daniel chapter 2, there's a king called Nebuchadnezzar. This king has a dream. And in this dream, Elder Jones, God gives him an image of what God desires him to be. He forgets the dream and wakes up and he is disturbed by this dream. And of course, you know the story. He threatens to kill all of his soothsayers and his prophets and counselors and dream interpreters because they cannot tell him the dream. He's forgotten the dream. They can't tell him the dream or the interpretation. But God brings a man called Daniel, and Daniel tells him the dream. Daniel said, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, God has a purpose for your life, but this purpose is not for, it's not eternal because you are not made to last forever. You are man, and your times are in God's hand. God desires you to be the head of gold. Nebuchadnezzar, you will be the head of gold, but after you will come another kingdom, and that kingdom will be the breast of silver. Nebuchadnezzar didn't like that. He said, wait a minute. I don't want God's image of me. I'm going to make my own image. I think he went on to that Snapchat and began to use those filters. The Bible says that he made his own image. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1. He filtered the breast of silver into gold. He's filtered the thighs of brass into gold. He filtered the legs of iron into gold and filtered the feet of iron mixed with clay into gold. And by the time the brother was done, he had another image. No, not the image that God intended for him to display before the world, but an image that he had made for himself. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1, he made this image, not as small as he may have seen it in his dream, but he made it big. It was 60 cubits high. That means 60 cubits high and 9 cubits wide. And he set it in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And then he went on his Snapchat, book or list, and he began to plug it to all of them, and he wanted them to give him an applaud and loyalty of bowing to it, like these young people when they get on Facebook and Snapchat and they take these pictures, they send it, and they want you to write back and say, "Oh, you look so cute, girl. I like your eyelashes. And look at those lips. They're so tantalizing." Nebuchadnezzar wanted people to worship him. And so he sends his Snapchat. He put this stuff on Facebook. And he said, "When you get it in your inbox, I want you to bow and worship. When you hear the music play, I want you to bow and worship." But I'm so glad that the Bible says there were three boys who decided, listen, you can put it on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. You can even tweet it. We are not going to pay any loyalty to this, because for God we live and for God we die. And I stop by to tell somebody today, my brothers and sisters, that God is looking for few faithful people who will not be carried by the walls of this world, but will stand against whatever the world brings at them and say, "I refuse to bow." Now watch this. If anyone should have had an excuse and a reason to bow, it should have been these three boys. You know why? Because when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Judah and deported them to Babylon, he brought a whole lot of Jews, but he picked a few of them and brought them into his palace. The king laid out the red carpet for them. He taught them in his halls of scholarship. He fed them the best of food. He promoted them over people that were citizens of his own kingdom, and he made them leaders. They had every reason to be loyal to this man, but what they said was, "We have a God who sits high and looks low, and no matter what you do for us, you cannot do it unless God allows you to do it. No matter how big my house is, how nice my car looks, how much money I got in the bank, how educated I am, no matter what this world has to offer me, will it profit a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl to gain this whole world and lose their soul? Yes, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We will not bow." Is there two people in here who can say, "I don't care what this world offers me. I refuse to bow"? Now, the king got upset, and duly so. "After I did all of that for you." But the king loved these boys. And so he called them. He said, "Now, wait a minute, guys. Don't front me like that in front of these people that are jealous of you in the first place. There should have been presidents and princes and governors, but I made you presidents and princes and governors. See, this is supposed to be their country. But after they capture you from your mother's land of Africa and put you in the halls and bowels of ships and brought you here and they expected you to die, I held you up. And here you are now. I've made something of you. We've established the Negro colleges. We came to the South and we established Spelman and more housing. And we got you educated now. You still talking about Yahweh? You still talking about your God? We even changed your name. You ain't Kunta no more. You Harris now. And Mason. And Johnson and Peter. You don't even know what your African name sounded like. We made stuff of you. And now you don't want to worship the image that we set up. Well, listen, God. Maybe you weren't paying attention. You know, there's too many television stations now. You didn't know that it was on CNN and not Fox. But what we're going to do is we're going to put it on Fox. And we're going to let you watch it. And when the music plays, we want you to bow. And these boys said to Nebuchadnezzar, this is the first time that anyone addresses an ancient monarch by their name. They never addressed the king by his name. It's always, all king live forever. Oh, but I'm so glad there are some things, there are some lines that when you cross and wag your finger in the face of my God and you begin to disrespect him because of the power that he's given you, all of the respect that I have for you is gone. And I'm not going to call you sir this or mister that anymore, because if you can't call my God who he is, I don't have the right to call you who you are. And so those boys look at Nebuchadnezzar, and instead of saying, oh, king live forever, they say, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you. In other words, this subject is not up for discussion. We're not talking about this. Matter of fact, I refuse to show up at the meeting. You can have it at whatever time you want to have it. This discussion is over. And the king said, now, wait a minute. I made you. You owe everything you have to me. But since you're going to trust another God, not only will I heat the fire at 1 degree, but I'll heat it at 7 degrees. And who is this God? Oh, bless his name. That's when they really messed up. He really messed up. When he stood before those boys and talked about who is your God that is able to deliver you out of my hand. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego pulled those three ingredients of their faith and began to throw it at the king. And let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you and I are going to be able to pass the test of these times, we have to have these three ingredients in our faith. Here is ingredients number one. Ingredient number one is we must be unequivocal about the sufficiency of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to be unequivocal about the sufficiency of God. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego said, our God is sufficient. Our God is able. They said, oh, king, if that's the game you are about to play, if you think you are about to scare us into thinking that your fire is so hot, we're going to forsake our God and worship your God, we got news for you. our God is able. Is there two people in here who can declare unequivocally that my God is able? Now here's what they didn't say, Sister Adams. They didn't say our pastor's God. They didn't say Big Mama's God. They didn't say the elder's God, my deacon's God, and my grandfather's God. They didn't say that. They said our God, whom we serve. Oh, bless his name. In other words, you cannot have the faith that is unequivocal about the sufficiency of God until you have a personal relationship with God. God, I bless God for my mama and for my daddy and for the pastor and for the elders. Matter of fact, somebody sang a song. It may not be fit for this community at this time, but the lesson is good. Mama may have, daddy may have, but God bless a child who has his own. And there has to come a time in our lives, my brothers and sisters, where we have to say, my God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, our God. And watch this. It said, whom we serve. Oh, bless his name. Bless his name. In other words, they would say, we may work for you, but we serve God. And see, that's a difference. I may work for you to get paid, but the service that I render it unto God. I'm not serving you, I'm serving God. That's what I have made up my mind, that as the pastor that God has called me to do, I may work for the conference, I may work for the union, I may work for the division, I may work for the GC, but I don't serve the conference, the union, the division, or the GC. I serve God. Is there two people in here who can say it unequivocally? I am a servant of the living God. Say yes. Don't get it confused. Don't get it twisted. I don't serve you. I may work for you, but I serve God. The God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And my brothers and sisters, you and I have to get to that place in our lives when we say, God is able. He's able to heal me. He's able to deliver me. He's able to fix my marriage. He's able to fix my finances. He's able to put me in a home. He's able to get me a car. He's able to bring my children home. He's able to stop the storm. He's able to stop the rain. He's able to stop death. He's able to do anything. God is able. Genesis 18. These three visitors come to Abraham and to Sarah, his wife. Sarah has passed the age of nature to give birth to a child. Abraham is too old to make a move. And God comes and said, you and Sarah will have a child. Abraham grins, Sarah laughs. And one of the messengers, who is actually God in the form of a man, asks a rhetorical question. He's not looking for an answer. He just wants Abraham to know, you don't know who you're talking to. I know biology 101 says that after 50 years old, things start to clamp up. I know you can't do this or do that in the flesh, natural, but I'm not talking about flesh. I'm talking about the one who can stand on a sea and tell the sea, lose your ability to be water and be a road for me to walk on. I'm talking about a one who can speak to a storm and say to the storm, hush your mouth and lay down like a little baby. I'm talking about a one who can speak to lightning that are making zigzag curves on the canvas of the sky and say, put your pen away and go back into your closet. This is the one that I'm talking about. And this angel said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah heard that question ringing through the distance of time. And in Jeremiah chapter 32 in verse 17, Jeremiah said, I'm not going to let this question just keep spinning in midair. I'm going to bring it down and give an answer to it. Oh, Lord God, thou who has made the heaven and earth with the power of thy hand and thy great arm, there is nothing. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's nothing too hard for God. God is able. He is able, young people, to keep you pure, to keep you in your virtue. He is able, married man, to keep you home with your wife, married woman with your husband. He is able to keep you single person from losing your self, your God-given moral, and go from John to Paul to Peter, or from Sarah to Anne to Susie. God is able. Yes, he is, because Jude says, now unto him, Jude 24, who is able to keep you from falling. He's able to stop you from drinking, stop you from smoking, stop you from taking drugs. He's able to take you from the guttermost to the uttermost. God is able. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that he's able to open blind eyes. He's able to make the crippled walk. He's able to make the dumb talk and the deaf hear. Is there anybody in here who can say, my God is able? If you and I are going to be able to pass the test of these times, we have to be unequivocally certain about the sufficiency of God. But the next thing that they had in this recipe of faith is the sovereignty of God. They were unambiguous about the sovereignty of God. There was no confusion in their mind that God is sovereign. That means he can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, however he wants to do it, whenever he wants to do it, wherever he wants to do it. Here's what these boys said. They said, we know that God is sufficient. He's able. But we know that he's sovereign. He can choose not to do it. See, the problem with most Christians is they know his ability to, his sufficiency, but they want to force that sufficiency. Let's fast and pray. And we should. Because the Bible says men ought always to pray. But once you fast and pray, you got to remember that your prayer is not no change that you put in a slot machine. Yeah, y'all don't know anything about that, but your prayers is not $1.50 you put in a candy machine and then you pull the lever and the Mars bar is supposed to drop out. No, God is sovereign. He can heal me if he chooses to. And he can choose not to heal me if he doesn't want me healed. But I'm so glad that Romans 8:28 says, but we know that all things work together for our good. I'm glad this morning that after my elders anointed me and prayed, after my church prayed for me, some of you fasted for me, people prayed for me all around the world, that God decided, we God, I've heard their prayers and I got an answer. What's the answer, God? I am not going to heal you right now, but I'll give you sufficient grace to be able to handle the answer that I'm giving you, because all things will work together for your good. Is there two people in here who can say, I'm so glad that when God decides to do what he chooses to do on my behalf, even though it may not be what I want, that all things, not some things, not most things, but all things work together for my good. My brothers and sisters, these boys said to the king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter because our God is able, but he has a right to choose whether he wants to or not. Is there two people in here who can shout, God is able? Say yes. God is sovereign. God is sufficient. But finally, Elder Landry, the third thing we must have in this ingredient of the faith that will pass the test of these times is we must unconditionally submit to the sovereignty of God. You got people walking away from the church. Well, I've been paying my tithe for the last 30 years, 20 years, and then my house got foreclosed, and God didn't come through, so I'm leaving. My child is on drugs, and I sent him to church school and sent him to Oakwood. And so God, no, 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 no. David says, 34 Psalms, I will bless the Lord at all times. I bless him when things look bad, and I bless him when things look good. I bless him when the sun is shining, and I bless him when the rains are falling. I bless him when it's thundering and lightning outside, and I bless him when everything is calm. I am not a fair weather servant of the Most God God. I am unconditional about my submission to God. And I stopped by to tell somebody at 45, 55 Fairfields Avenue, if your submission to God is conditional on what God does or doesn't do, then you better watch out, because Satan is manufacturing something that he will throw at you that will rock your very world. And he knows that he can throw that at you so that you can back away from God. Stop coming to church. Stop coming to prayer meeting. Stop praying. Stop fasting. Stop praising God. But I'm glad that there are still people in the house of God, in the family of God, that would say, my service to God is unconditional. I don't care if he heals me. I don't care if he pays the rent. I don't care if I get a job right now. My God is sovereign and I will serve him. Is that two people in here who can say, God is sovereign and I will submit? Say submit. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had three ingredients that harnessed their faith. Their unequivocal certainty of the sufficiency of God. God is a their own ambiguous declaration of the sovereignty of God. God can choose to do whatever he wants to do. And their own conditional submission to God. We will not bow. Somebody is going to be tested in a relationship. I can't marry you till you have sex with me. You know, they got this new idea now. You can't buy a car till you test it. Well, guess what? I'm not a car. I'm a child of God. If you can trust what God has brought to you, you are not worth it. Oh, I wish somebody was listening to me. Yeah. I need some young person to know today. They don't have to test the car, because I bought many cars, and there were few that I just tested because they looked testable. I don't have a Jaguar, but I tested one. I don't have a Mercedes, but I tested one. I don't have a Lexus, but I tested one. There are just some cars that are testable. And you get in there, and you go around the block, and you come back, and you say, well, I'm going to come back. Think about it. I got to go talk to my wife about it. I got to see. Don't let nobody sell you that junk. Talk about, you know, if we don't know what it does. No. If you want what you see, and if you are worth what you see, then you're going to put a ring. I wish somebody was listening. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were unequivocal about the sufficiency of God. They were unambiguous about the sovereignty of God. And they were unconditional about their submission to Yahweh Almighty. Oh, it's on now. It's on. The king calls his strong men. Turn that heat up 7 times. Take these boys. Tie them up. I can see the strong men coming. Tying them up. And Sister Adams, I thought God would show up right there, flex his muscles, and say, now you don't mess with my children. No. God didn't show up. They tied them up, picked them up, Brother Milton, and they're taking them to the fire. And I'm thinking God will step in and say, no. Enough is enough. You don't put them in the fire. These are my boys. But God doesn't show up. They get to the entrance of the furnace. The furnace, as they open it to throw them in, the furnace is so hot that even the men that threw them in are singed, burned up. These three boys get up in there. Nebuchadnezzar expected them to just dissolve, be obliterated at the heat of the fire. Wait a minute. I can see somebody tapping him on the shoulder and say, are you okay, King? He said, oh, give me that other pair of glasses, the one that I got last week, because I think this one is a little foggy. Okay, King, are you okay? No, get me an ophthalmologist. I need to check my eyes. Something's going on. What's going on, King? Did we not throw 3 men in the fire? Oh, yes, we did, King. Here's the papers. Here's the degree you signed. Shadrach, Meshach, and that bad Negro, they in the fire. He said, but wait a minute, something's wrong. What's wrong, King? He said, you may not see what I see, but I see 4 people in the fire. Now, wait a minute. This is not where the shout comes. Now, before this time, no theology about the Son of God. There is a theology of Mashiach, Messiah, but no theology of the Son of God. Abraham didn't have any theology of the Son of God. Moses, no theology. None of these people, no theology. Where does Nebuchadnezzar get the idea that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Son of God? And that when his people are in fiery situations, he shows up and he stands with them. Isaiah 43 and verse 17, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that gets up to rise up against you will be condemned in judgment. Watch this. God didn't say the weapons will not be formed. Yes, they will be formed, but he said they will not prosper. It may not come when you want it to come, but I'm so glad that God always comes on time. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up and the fire turns into a cool air conditioner room. I don't know what they were doing in the furnace, but I believe somebody was saying, he's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my God is able to carry me through. I think somebody else said, God is a joy and the strength of my life. He moves on pain, misery, and strife. He promised to keep me, never to leave me. He never, ever have come short of his word. I will fast and pray, stay in his narrow way. I'll keep myself clean every day because I want to go with him. When he comes back, I've come too far and I never turn back. Turn to somebody and say, God is. The king said, I see Jesus. Oh, bless his name. I see him in the fire. He said, cut that fire off because they don't worth anything anyway. Tell those boys to come out and to turn the fire off. Open the gate. And he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and that bad Negro, come on out. Them boys did one of these. I can see them walking out of that fire. You know, the Bible says, no smell of smoke on their skin. They came out, and the king passed a new decree. The king said, I decree that nobody in my kingdom will worship any other god but the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I stopped by to tell you that God doesn't need a whole city. God doesn't need this whole church. God just needs a few faithful people who will stand up for God amidst the trials and tribulations, amid the vicissitudes of life, and say, I refuse to bow. I will unconditionally submit to God so that others can see their lives and see Jesus in them, and said, I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoever my lot may be. Where thou goest, I will follow. Yes, my Lord, I'll follow thee. Is there two people in here who can say, I follow Jesus? Say yes. But this is what blew my mind. And I'm about to shut this down. This is what blew my mind. And I'll let you go. He sees four people in a fire. He brings three out. What happened to the fourth man? As I thought about it, the Holy Ghost said, we are. The fourth man stays in the fire. He never leaves the fire. Because he knows in 2017, we God will be in a fire with his eyes. And he wants you to meet him in the fire. He knows in 2017, one of Berean members, all of Berean members will have some fiery furnace experience, and he can't get out of the fire because he wants them to meet him there. I stopped by to tell you, my brothers and sisters, he may not stop the fire, but he'll meet you in the fire. He may not stop your situation, but he'll meet you in your situation. He may not stop that marriage being in the chaos that it's in, but he'll give you peace in the midst of it. He may not stop your child being crazy, but he will give you peace to deal with it. He may not stop your money issue, but the bills will be paid all the time. He may not stop. I wish somebody was listening to me. Is there anybody in here who can shout, he's in the fire waiting for me to get there? Say yes. He's in the fire. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't come out of the fire. He's in the fire, Berean. He's in the fire of our trials. He's in the fires of our tribulations. He's in the fires of our sickness. Where is my favorite member, Erica? He's in that fire. I know you're dealing with some physical challenges, but he's in the fire with you. And if you just hang on in there, if you do not submit, he's going to come and take you out. Sister Verrett, he's in the fire. Ashley, he's in the fire. I'm so glad that God is in the fire, that he'll meet us in the fire. And I just want to ask a little crazy question, and I hope somebody help me answer it. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? Won't he come through? Won't he save us? Won't he heal us? Won't he protect us? Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Come on, get on your feet and begin to shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. Make a joyful noise unto him, because God is mighty. God is great. God is powerful. God is able. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Say yes. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Come on, help me, Elder Jones. Every hour, I need thee. Oh, bless. Bless me now. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Come on, the doors of the church is open. Somebody need to come. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. God is calling somebody. God is calling a man, a woman, a boy, a girl. He wants to meet you in the fire. He's going to quench the fire for you. I need thee. Oh, bless me, Lord. Oh, bless. Oh, bless. Bless me now, my Savior. Somebody want to be baptized. Somebody want to make this their church home. Somebody want to recommit. Somebody want to say, I need that kind of faith. The faith that's unequivocal about the sufficiency of God, the sovereignty of God, and my total and unconditional submission. Do you want to come and submit today? You want to come and submit today? You say, I've been going through some stuff and I don't understand why all the time I've prayed, it seemed like I'm still in it. I stopped by to tell you, you need to come and let them know that you will continue to submit. God, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm going to be one of your faithful few who will say, come hell or high water, I will stay faithfully submitted to God. Would you come, man? Would you come, woman? Would you come, boy? Would you come, girl? Somebody's been slipping and sliding. Somebody's faith has been shaken. But today, you want to say, I'll be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want that faith that will pass the test of these times. Come on, put your hands together and bless God. Somebody's coming. Somebody's coming. God bless you, my friend. God bless you. God bless you. Your faith is shaken. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. But you need to say, God, you're able. You're sovereign. And I will submit. God is telling me somebody else needs to come. Somebody else needs to come. You're struggling. Don't worry about who's looking at you and what they're saying. The Spirit of God is in this place. God is about to give somebody a breakthrough. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? I come. Bless you, Lord. I come. Hallelujah. I come to thee. I come. Oh, I come. I come to thee. David says, hallelujah. 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 Who be at a kia uzu? Hallelujah. Who be called Baratov? Let us praise the Lord, David says. Let us praise God in his sanctuary. Let us praise him in the firmament of his power. Let us praise him for his mighty works. And in verse 6 of the Psalms 156, 150, David says, Ko hanashama te hallelujah, hallelujah. Let everything that has breath be heard praising God. Let us praise our God. God, we thank you today for your power. Thank you for your might. We thank you for the faith that will give us the strength to pass the test of these times. God, your people have come. They've been prayed for right now. God, I pray that whatever their needs is, if it is baptism, God, I pray that they will stay and follow through with it. If it is recommitment, God, let them know that you are able to keep them from falling and to present them before your own majesty with exceeding joy and glory. You are the most high God, and to you be all dominion and power forever and ever. And the people of God say amen. Say hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus.